content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Mary Beth Yoder for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is the March edition of Flavor. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you some items from Real Simple Magazine, Food Network Magazine, news-medical.net website, and if we have time, also some piece from usnews.com. So starting off from news-medical.net, do superfoods really exist? And this is by Dr. Sanchari Sinha Dutta. The term superfood is used to define food items that have high levels of particular nutrients like antioxidants, vitamins, or minerals, and extra health benefits. However, scientific evidence in support of the real health benefits of these foods is mostly inconclusive. Subheading of What are superfoods? There is no scientifically approved definition for superfoods. Foods gets labeled as quote-unquote superfood when claims are made that it provides multiple health benefits simultaneously or helps prevent a disease. Superfoods became popular in the early 20th century when the United Fruit Company used the term as a marketing strategy. The company actively marketed the health benefits of bananas. They encouraged people to include these fruits in their daily diet on the basis that they were cheap, easily available, nutritious, easily digestible, and can be consumed in both cooked and uncooked forms. Afterward, the idea that a banana is a superfood became more popular when physicians started using the fruit to treat serious health conditions such as celiac disease and diabetes. The American Medical Association also endorsed bananas as a daily consumable food. Research that indicates that when a food item is labeled as a superfood, this translates into super sales. This raises the question as to whether these foods really do provide optimal nutritional benefit, rather than a label used as a sale booster by the food industry. Subheading of How to Enrich Our Daily Diet with Superfoods. While choosing the best nutrients for diet, it is always important to remember that no single food is enough to provide all essential nutrients required for healthy living. Too much focus on superfoods can mislead a person and divert his or her attention from other healthy foods that are more enriched nutritionally. According to the U.S. Dietary Guidelines, and this is 2015 to 2020, for a healthy eating pattern, one should include in their diet essential nutrients from a variety of food groups while paying attention to calorie intake limits. Certain dietary patterns, including the Mediterranean diet, have shown significant health benefits in terms of reducing the risk of chronic diseases. Although most of the superfoods are overhyped, certain food items must be acknowledged separately for their immense health benefits and nutritional values. Following is the list of foods that offer these benefits. Berries are high in dietary fiber, antioxidants, and disease-fighting nutrients. Fish is a good source of proteins and omega-3 fatty acids, which are good for a healthy heart. Green leafy vegetables contain high amounts of dietary fibers, vitamin A, vitamin C, calcium, and bioactive phytochemicals. And then we have nuts, olive oil, whole grains, yogurt, and legumes, such as kidney beans, soybeans, and peas. Those are a good source of plant proteins, fibers, and folate. And then subheading, how justified is the term superfood? Several studies have evaluated the health benefits of superfoods. Bioactive peptides present in different crops, such as maize, common bean, amaranth, quinoa, and chia seeds are known to have a wide variety of properties, including anti-hypertensive, anti-cholesterol, anti-inflammatory, anti-cancer, and antioxidant properties. Thus, these foods are designated as superfoods and often incorporated into food formulas. In contrast, several studies have also pointed out that superfoods are often overhyped, and scientific data claiming the disease-preventive properties of some superfoods is mostly inconsistent and inconclusive. Another important thing to remember while consuming food that is labeled as a superfood is to thoroughly check its nutrient content. If you have a specific disorder and taking medicine for it, you should discuss your dietary needs with your doctor. For example, if you are taking medicine to prevent blood clots, eating too many green leafy vegetables is not recommended. These vegetables are rich in vitamin K, which plays an essential role in blood clotting and thus can potentially nullify the effect of medicine if consumed in a high amount. Taken together, it can be claimed that some food labeled as superfoods are capable of providing health benefits if consumed in the right amount together with other nutritious foods. One should always remember that a healthy diet plan should not exclusively include superfoods. Rather, superfoods should be used as a part of a healthy and balanced diet. All right, we're going to take a little turn, and from the Real Simple magazine, I've got something else for you in your kitchen. 5 tips for washing dishes, not watching. Roll up your sleeves and clean the trickiest stuff that hits your sink. Little to no elbow grease required. Now, use aluminum foil and baking soda to revive splotchy stainless steel. Are there patches of burned oil on your once shiny pans? We have a fix. Add 2 tablespoons of baking soda and a few drops of water to the pan, making a paste. Then ball up a piece of heavy-duty aluminum foil, like Reynolds Wrap grill foil, and rub it over the surface. The baking soda absorbs the yuck and triggers a chemical reaction that transfers the markings from the pan to the foil. Repeat as needed. Use lemon and salt to refresh wood cutting boards. Keep your maple or cherry or walnut cutting board off the chopping block. Tackle lingering stains and odors once a month by sprinkling a few pinches of coarse salt across the surface and rubbing with the cut side of a lemon half. The abrasive salt does the scrubbing and the lemon handles the deodorizing. Let the salty juice sit for 5 minutes, then rinse the board clean with a bristled brush and hot water. To go the extra mile, coat the whole thing with a food-safe mineral oil. Use distilled white vinegar to clear up cloudy glasses. Even if your glassware is technically clean, hard water deposits can really gunk it up. So, then, not the vibe for your dinner party. Get rid of cloudiness with the help of distilled white vinegar. Just add a splash to each glass and wipe with a clean sponge. The acidity of the vinegar can cut through the minerals and that cause those spots. Wash each glass with warm water and soap, then dry with a microfiber cloth. Use baking soda to fix a scorched Dutch oven. Scorching is a fact of life when you cook in a Dutch oven. To help get your pot clean again, bring 4 cups of water to boil over medium heat. Add 2 tablespoons of baking soda and stir with a wooden spoon. The alkaline pH level of baking soda can help neutralize the acidity of grease and burned bits, breaking them down. Let the solution simmer, then use the spoon to scrape up any food on the bottom. Dump the dirty water, wash, and admire your good-as-new Dutch oven. And finally, use a potato and salt to restore rusty cast iron skillets. Potatoes can turn into French fries, power a clock, remember middle school science class, get carved into custom stamps for art projects, and yes, remove rust from your skillets. First, cover the troubled spots with a thin layer of salt. Then cut the potato in half and scrub in a circular motion. Its oxalic acid will help dissolve and lift up the rust so it can be rinsed away. Is there anything potatoes can't do? Next up, from Food Network Magazine, I've got Ina Garten's column for you. It's a winner. Ina Garten found the secret to a perfect chicken dinner. She says, I've tried many different recipes for chicken in a pot. It seems as though everyone has a version, but they often end up tasting like chicken soup instead of a delicious, satisfying dinner. One day, I noticed that Nigella Larson had a recipe where she browned the chicken first rather than just boiling it, giving it extra flavor. And then she added orzo to the stock, the starch in the pasta, gave the sauce a lot of body. I played around with the recipe, adding some saffron, and came up with this version. It's a perfect midwinter meal that's the ultimate comfort food. And best of all, you can make it ahead. So, chicken in a pot with orzo. You will need good olive oil, 1 3.5 to 4 pound whole chicken, 2 cups of 3/4 inch diced scrubbed carrots, about 10 ounces, 2 cups of 3/4 inch diced celery, which is about 4 ribs, 2 cups of chopped leeks, white and light green parts, and that's about 3 leeks. And it says, soak the diced leeks in water to remove any dirt, then spin dry. 2 cups of chopped fennel, stalks and core removed. It'll be about 1 large bulb. 2 teaspoons of minced garlic, about 2 cloves. 4 cups of simmering chicken stock, preferably homemade. 1/2 teaspoon of saffron threads, 6 sprigs of fresh thyme, 8 sprigs of fresh parsley, and 10 sprigs of fresh dill, plus extra for serving, kosher salt and freshly ground pepper, and 3/4 cup of orzo. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees. Heat 3 tablespoons of olive oil in a medium Dutch oven, such as Le Creuset, over medium to medium-high heat. Dry the chicken all over. Place it in the pot, breast side down, and sear it for 5 to 7 minutes without moving until the skin is nicely browned. Turn the chicken breast side up and sear for another 4 to 5 minutes until browned on the bottom. Transfer the chicken to a plate. Add the carrots, celery, leeks, and fennel to the pot and saute for 10 to 15 minutes, stirring occasionally until the vegetables start to brown. Add the garlic and cook for 1 minute. Return the chicken to the pot, breast side up, spreading the vegetables around the chicken. Add the chicken stock, saffron, and enough water to cover the chicken with just an inch of the breast bone exposed. Tie the thyme, parsley, and dill together in a bundle with kitchen string and add to the pot along with 1.5 tablespoons of salt and 1.5 teaspoons of pepper. Bring to a boil, cover, and bake for 1 hour and 15 minutes. Checking to be sure the liquid is simmering. Discard the herb bundle, stir the orzo into the broth, cover, and allow to sit off the heat for 20 to 25 minutes until the orzo is tender. Using forks to separate the chicken into quarters, carefully pull the breast meat away from the bones, and she says, I leave the bones in the leg portion, and reheat if necessary. Spoon some of the chicken broth and pasta into large, shallow bowls and serve hot, sprinkled generously with minced dill and salt. Now from usnews.com, say goodbye to PFAS chemicals in food packaging. And it says, FDA. So maybe this comes from the FDA. Let's see. PFAS, forever chemicals, increasingly linked to health risks, will no longer be added to food packaging handled by American consumers, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration announced Wednesday, just yesterday. Grease-proofing materials containing per- and polyfluoroalkyl substances, PFAS, are no longer being sold for use in food packaging in the U.S. And that's a quote from Jim Jones, the agency's commissioner for human foods, said in a statement. This means the major source of dietary exposure to PFAS from food packaging, like fast food wrappers, microwave popcorn bags, takeout paperboard containers, and pet food bags, is being eliminated, Jones noted. PFAS were long used in food packaging because they resist grease, oil, water, and heat, the FDA explained. However, there's mounting evidence that certain types of PFAS are tied to, quote, serious health effects, end quote, the agency said. And subheading, U.S. cities with the most homelessness. According to the nonprofit National Resources Defense Council, PFAS have now been linked to a wide range of health risks in both human and animal studies, including cancer, kidney and testicular, hormone disruption, liver and thyroid problems, interference with vaccine effectiveness, reproductive harm, and abnormal fetal development. They're known as forever chemicals for a reason. The structure of PFAS means they resist breakdown in the environment and in our bodies, explained Eric Olson, the NRDC's Senior Strategic Director of Health and Food. Second, they move relatively quickly through the environment, making their contamination hard to contain. Third, for some PFAS, even extremely low levels of exposure can negatively impact our health. According to Jones, the agency's efforts to ban PFAS chemicals from food packaging stems from solid science and involved the cooperation of industry. In 2020, the FDA engaged companies to cease sales of grease-proofing substances that contain certain types of PFAS following our post-market safety assessment, Jones said. The research FDA scientists conducted and published played a large part in helping the agency obtain commitments from manufacturers to voluntarily phase out the use of these substances containing PFAS in paper and paperboard food packaging products. However, the NRDC, that's the National Resources Defense Council, stressed that PFAS chemicals are added to much more than just food packaging. Any clothing that is advertised as waterproof or stain-resistant, for example, could contain toxic PFAS. Generally, you're better off assuming that something does contain PFAS, particularly if you find keywords like waterproof, stain repellent, or dirt repellent on the tag, the NRDC said. Furniture, mattresses, and other home goods often contain PFAS as well, the NRDC said. Everything from your mattress pad and umbrella to your cosmetics and dental floss may be treated with PFAS, leaving families vulnerable, the NRDC said. Children in particular, who are more likely to put PFAS-treated products into their mouths, are at higher risk. The reality is we need to take action on the full class of these toxic forever chemicals to clean them up, phase them out, and ban them for good, the organization added. And back to something from Real Simple. I've got in season Sumo Citrus. Super sweet, seedless, and snackable, these big guys, around 10 ounces each, have a gigantic fan club. originally bred in Japan, they're now grown in California and are available January through April at about $4 a pound. They aren't cheap, but they're so worth it. When you shop, look for a shiny fruit, free of significant discoloration. A little is okay. And remember, the baggier the skin, the easier it is to peel. To store them, keep them loose in the fridge for up to a month. Eat. While you could certainly add segments to a salad, sumos are winter treasures, meaning your best bet is to eat them on their own. All right. Hot Bites from the Food Network magazine. I've got a little recipe for you. Our test kitchen chefs kicked up the heat. Try these jalapeno turkey burgers. Mix 1.5 pounds of ground turkey, 1/4 cup of jalapeno hot sauce, 2 each sliced scallions and grated garlic cloves, 2 teaspoons of Dijon mustard, and 1 teaspoon of kosher salt. Form into 8 thin patties. Cook in 2 batches in vegetable oil in a large non-stick skillet over medium-high heat, 1.5 minutes per side. Top with sliced Monterey Jack during the last 30 seconds. For each burger, stack 2 patties on a toasted bun with lettuce and avocado. Top with a mix of 1/4 cup each mayonnaise and sour cream, and 2 tablespoons of jalapeno hot sauce, plus pickled jalapeno slices. And Steve Jackson says, jalapeno hot sauce does double duty in this recipe. It gives ground turkey a flavorful kick and the sauce some extra zing. And I've got a little article for you from Food Network magazine called Heat Wave. It's getting hot in here. Spicy condiments are taking over America's pantries. If your food friends seem fired up these days, it might be because they're eating an extraordinary amount of hot sauce. Americans consumed more than ever during the past year, and we're headed into peak sauce season now. Sales jumped 45% during the week of Super Bowl, according to Instacart. Things likely won't cool down anytime soon. Experts predict the hot sauce market will grow from $3 billion to $5 billion in the next 6 years. TikTokers have fueled the fire by drizzling hot sauce on mashed potatoes, pickles, Flamin' Hot Cheetos, and Oreos. And food producers have raced to create hotter and hotter peppers for those who dare. Last summer, Pepper X dethroned the Carolina Reaper as the spiciest variety on earth, paving the way for even more aggressive sauces and pastes. The hot sauce boom isn't just about thrill-seeking, though. Spicy condiments at every heat level have been hitting the market. Here's a primer on the trend and a guide to what's on the shelf. And it says hot stuff sells almost 72% of restaurants. Call out the word spicy on menus, and close to 20% have dishes with hot sauce. So I'll read to you the list of hot sauces you can find on your shelves with a description of a few. And we have our original Tabasco, and this is Louisiana style. Tabasco pioneered this vinegary sauce in 1868. Frank's Red Hot, the best-selling hot sauce, and Crystal are similar to Tabasco. And then you have Fly By Jing, Sichuan Chili Crisp. And chili crisp is pepper flakes and bits of fried onion and garlic. Give this trendy, spicy oil from China its crisp texture. Then you've got Cholula hot sauce, which is a Mexican style. You have Sriracha, and that's a Thai sauce. Gochujang, hot and sweet sauce. This paste-like condiment originated in Korea and gets its earthy, spicy flavor from red chilies, sticky rice, and fermented soybeans. Then you've got something called Sambal Olek. Let me spell that for you. S-A-M-B-A-L. and then O-E-L-E-K. A sambal is a spicy Indonesian paste. Olek is the classic kind made with ground red chili, salt, and vinegar. And then you have harissa. The name comes from the word harasa, which means to mash in Arabic. Some versions include warm spices like cumin and coriander. And then there's Caribbean hot sauce. It's typically made from Scotch bonnet peppers, one of the hottest varieties, along with fruits like mango, papaya, and pineapple. Now I have some healthy side dishes for you. Let's start with yogurt sesame flatbreads. And these are side dishes. Whisk 2 cups of flour, 2 tablespoons of toasted sesame seeds, 1 teaspoon of salt, and 3/4 teaspoon of baking powder in a bowl. Stir in 1 cup of plain yogurt, and it says not Greek, then knead until smooth and let rest for 20 minutes. Cut into 4 pieces and roll out on a floured surface until very thin. Cook on a griddle coated with vegetable oil over medium heat until browned, 2 minutes per side, and then sprinkle with salt. I've also got red curry mashed sweet potatoes. Heat 2 tablespoons of coconut oil in a Dutch oven over medium heat. Add 2 pounds of sweet potatoes, peeled and cut into chunks, 1 tablespoon of Thai red curry paste, and 1 teaspoon of kosher salt. Stir until sizzling. Add 3/4 cup each full-fat coconut milk and water. Cover and simmer over medium heat, stirring until the potatoes are tender, about 15 minutes. Add the zest and juice of 1 lime and mash. We've run out of time for today's episode of Flavor. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Mary Beth Yoder, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Flavor is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We'd really like to hear from you if you have a comment or a question. Thanks again for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.